This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage, they're with you every step of the way. They know, man. They know when you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time. Folks, Rocket can. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N. We got Bill Bender coming up in 40 minutes. We'll talk Big Ten with him. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You come for the straw man, you stay for the virtue signaling. I saw an article earlier this week from USA Today, and I was floored at the silliness of it. I understand what the author was trying to get across. The author has been a person who has been in sports journalism for longer than I've been alive. I've never agreed with the person, and I remember watching sports and seeing this person commentating on sports and reading about this person, or reading this person's words on sports since I was a small child. I don't think I've ever agreed with this person. That may have something to do with it, but I thought I was using a straw man earlier this week, and nope, just turned out I had to wait for somebody to virtue signal, because I got some major problems coming up at noon. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We just had Aditi Kinkabwala on. Aditi's great as always. Juggling all the things, there's a lot of people who are teaching their kids the homeschooling. Pierno, I'll tell you this. And I know you got to get the top five subject, and I got to rip LeBron. Well, I got to rip those ripping LeBron. I got to get this off my chest. I did one day. Liz had to go help her mom, and it was a big. And then she's like, "Can you substitute teach him today?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do whatever I need to do." And it first always crossed your mind, "All right, let's half-ass." And I go, "No, it's not going to take that long. Let's take care of this business." She prints out this whole thing, and honestly, I didn't have a bad time. He's terrible at rhyming. They are very important on the rhyming, this school. They really want him to learn rhyming and words that rhyme and words that don't rhyme. So it's very difficult to do that because he's behind. He, for whatever reason, he just can't get it. That's a little frustrating, but, you know, he's five, so you try to have some patience because, you know, he's five. Everything else, there was, you know, rectangles. We had fun with that. Other shapes and circumferences and all that other stuff. You know, we had a good time. The only thing is that I didn't want to tell anybody I had a good time because everybody in the neighborhood is struggling with this thing, and I didn't want to turn and go, "I had fun with X." Okay, well then let's have you do it every day, hotshot. Like, I feel bad for Liz. She's trying to teach him every day. And I'll tell you right now, Pierno, it's a countdown to January with the whole neighborhood because that second semester opens up and
they're going right back.
It's back to school with you, boy. Back to school.
Get the mask on. Get in the classroom.
He likes it. He's got Superman mask. He's got Spider-Man mask. He likes it.
Dude,
he's
I think
going
that is
back.
So, you know, that drives me crazy with the masks. People buying up all these masks. Like, what are you going to do with them after? Because it's annoying.
You throw them away.
I don't know, but I'm talking about actually people like spending money on like fancy masks or like all these themes. I'm gonna have a collection of masks in my drawer now. I have to make room for my masks. Like, what am I gonna do with them when this is over?
Pierno, sorry, I almost called you Higgy. Pierno, we do that with everything. Like when I was young, a cup of coffee was a cup of coffee. You turned on the coffee pot. You put the Maxwell House in there. Actually, we were a Folgers family. My mom drank Folgers. I smelled the Folgers. I didn't drink coffee till later on. But I actually like Maxwell House better. No offense to either brand, but I'm a big Maxwell House person. And you know, that's what it was. And then you see the coffee culture. Have you ever seen this stuff with coffee culture, Pierno?
I love coffee, man.
There you go. And people are, because I watched this documentary on Amazon about coffee. I went, I've never had a cup of coffee in my life.
I have a whole mug collection. I love coffee.
Yeah, well, I drink just grocery store, K-cup, whatever it is, regular old black coffee. And I see these guys, and they all have the same look. You know, they got the glasses, the beard, the dark features, the flat caps, the whole thing. And they're just talking about, and you could tell their heart and soul is in this coffee. I don't know if there's anything I love as much as what these guys love this coffee, and becomes their culture. And it's the same thing with beer. It's the same thing with craft beer culture. Grilling, holy God, every single guy's a grill master. Every single person. So it becomes your thing. And so everybody has to internalize it. And I think we've probably done this for a long time. And it's the same thing with those masks. And by the way, you know how our culture is. Even when they give us the all clear, there's going to be people. You are going to be seeing people in masks for the next 5 to 10 years. Won't be everybody. You will see people with masks in 5 to 10 years. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. Even when this is all a stinking memory, Pierno, I'm telling you. My son will be – I will be at a high school football game. I will be at a high school whatever for my son, a whatever he does. I'll be at a concert, whatever, and I'll see somebody in a mask. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So, you know, it's part of what we're dealing with right now, man. So what's the top five?
Well, you know, Ken, we've had such pleasant conversations this morning, both on and off the air. So
yeah,
even if you don't like this, you better fake it, because I don't want to get angry with you this morning, because I've really have enjoyed you this morning.
Are we doing top five top five Supreme Court justices? I can come up with one. You're not going to like it. Hey, Clarence Thomas is going to be in there. He ain't going to like it, I'm telling you.
But the Emmy Awards are tomorrow night, and
okay.
HBO's The Watchmen is leading the way with 26 nominations, and HBO has been a king in original programming, responsible for some of the greatest TV experiences ever. So I'm asking for the top five HBO series.
Pierno, you knocked it out of the park. What do you mean I wasn't going to like where you were
going? I don't know. I wasn't sure if this would be one of those where, Pierno, I don't know which shows are from HBO. I don't know which one is on this network, on that network.
I wasn't sure. I'm 34. How old are you, Pierno?
Same age.
I knew we were around the same age, or the same age. You and I we're old enough to remember HBO's the trailblazer of original television, where you can really see some good stuff. Network television back in the day, I remember my dad, at 10 o'clock on ABC, if that VCR isn't recording NYPD Blue, it's somebody's ass, and it was going to be mine. Like, that was like a different, and then The Sopranos came out, HBO, like, everybody fawns over certain Netflix shows, or Hulu, or Amazon, and a couple of those. You got to go right to the original. HBO, the trailblazer. I love this topic. I'm going to think about this topic, and it's going to be hard for me to talk about LeBron James, because now I have to think about that. So top five original HBO series. I know I'm going to omit one, and you're probably going to be flabbergasted. I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be one that's not in the top five, and you and probably a lot of fans are going to be upset with that. But top five coming up in 20 minutes. Bill Bender joining us, Sporting News national college football writer. He'll join us coming up at 11:40 a.m. Eastern. I think we're tired of LeBron. This is an argument I've made before. Because a few years, this was definitely the 2016 run. This was definitely after the 2016 run and before. I think we have gotten tired of LeBron. And I think we were tired then. And I think we're tired now. I give Giannis his credit. I give him his due. It's a regular season award. Giannis was great. Giannis wins the MVP. It throws people into a tiff, because they thought maybe this would be the year that LeBron would get that MVP and prove guys like me wrong. Because I said, it's not that he doesn't play well enough to get MVP. Everybody knows LeBron plays well enough to be the MVP. And if we're really under the entire definition of most valuable player, if we're talking value, who's more valuable to his franchise over the last 20 years than LeBron James? Folks, I'm in Cleveland. That team is a complete and utter disaster without LeBron James. people go, well, they left us. He left us high and dry. They call me up in the morning when we talk about LeBron James every now and then. He left us high and dry. You didn't have anything to begin with. It's not his fault. He got us a chance to win a championship. I'll never see the Cavaliers win a championship again. He left us high and dry. We were probably going to mess it up anyway. The Cavaliers have been a mess for the last 20 years without LeBron James. When they've had him, they've been on the best teams in the league. They've actually made what looks like smart decisions because there's a goal to win championships. The Heat already had a good organization, and they have a good organization. And it's weird because you watch the Heat now, and it seems to be that team where you watch them and you think that's team basketball. Guys playing around Jimmy Butler, they're not getting in fist fights in the locker room after game two. They didn't need to. They won. There's no infighting. There's no drama, at least no NBA perceived drama. Miami's a good organization. I don't need to use Miami for LeBron, but if I see the Cavaliers, who twice were on their ass before LeBron got there, and then the LA Lakers, who are supposed to be the Yankees of professional basketball, who are supposed to be the class of the NBA, in Los Angeles, the history, the logo, over the last 5 years before LeBron got there, the Buss family's fighting with each other. Magic Johnson, I'm sorry, as a team president, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. There's plenty of guys who play games at high levels, and they don't know what they're doing, and Magic didn't know what he was doing. That organization didn't know what they were doing. And even before, at the end with Kobe, they were still looking for Kobe to save them from something that he couldn't save them from. LeBron shows up there, and that first year last year was rough. He gets hurt. And I thought, there's no way you should be playing this man. They actually listened. They have talent now. And now LeBron James continues to play in a postseason. He obliterated the Nuggets last night, while Giannis Antetokounmpo sat at his office chair in his home and accepted an award, and he really looked embarrassed while he was accepting the award. He's talking to Ernie Johnson, and you could see Giannis Antetokounmpo. It looked like he didn't want to be. He would rather be anywhere else than accepting that award right there. Because he knows. Because we all know. If we're talking about valuable player, when is it not LeBron? Last year, and then other than that, when is it not LeBron? And we've tried. And this is part of the reason why we are sick and tired of LeBron James. We have tried it with everybody. Russell. Let's make Russell. No, Russell can't do it. James Harden. Let's make James Harden. Nope, James Harden can't do it. Steph Curry, Golden State. Nope, Steph Curry doesn't have the physical domination of LeBron James. Yes, it's changed the game in ways that I can't even describe to you. He has his place in history, no doubt. Nobody does for organizations what LeBron James has done. Zion, maybe someday. Luka, maybe someday. We don't know yet. Nobody touches those guys, and we will try to put them on that pedestal, just like what we are really trying to do with Giannis right now. We have tried to replace him. Kevin Durant, that's half the reason why people are so bitter with Kevin Durant. Because they wanted to. He was the anti-LeBron. And then he went to Golden State. And it's, man, you're following again. And that's part of the reason I beg Giannis to stay in Milwaukee. You can build a legacy. You can build a legend. Have people come into Milwaukee, Wisconsin, of all places, and you can be that guy. But he probably won't, and we'll get mad at Giannis for leaving, and then we'll try to do it to Zion until Zion leaves. And we'll do it to Luka, and maybe Luka will be that great hope. It's perpetual because we've tried to replace LeBron over the last 6, 7, 8 seasons, and he's irreplaceable. And the argument still, and this is something that you're going to hate, but it's still the truth. This is an argument that still, it's not about LeBron and Kobe. It's not about LeBron and any other player now. It is still an argument that goes back to you-know-who. Because we love LeBron. We say we love LeBron, and we just throw platitudes out there. Because we've gotten tired of it. His career, if we're talking about in the same tunes of movies and things, it insists upon itself. Every year, he breaks some record that people didn't really care about before. We dust off that argument. Hell, we do it so often, we don't even have to dust it off. It's just fresh. It's right there on the shelf. And we start to argue about Michael, or we start to argue about LeBron and Michael. And we get upset because LeBron almost makes it look easy. He goes to team. Team buckles to his pressure. He says he doesn't pressure them, which is the biggest lie he's ever told in his life. They buckle under pressure. That team still goes out and wins. LeBron carries them. He sucks the air out of everywhere he goes, and he still wins at a high level, and he can still be the most dominating player in the NBA. And we're tired of that because this is still an argument that stems to Michael Jordan. Michael kept it fresh. Michael had real sincere drama where you cared about Michael. I don't mean to use a father being murdered as part of the argument, but there were people that rallied, the country rallied around Michael Jordan. At least when I was a kid, that's the way it was perceived. Now, I'm sure that there's people out there who are adults who are cynics at that time. Maybe you saw it differently, but me as a child, we felt terrible for Michael. Your dad was killed? And then he goes and he plays baseball, and then he's back. And so now you've done it once before. Can you come back? Can you put it together? Can you do it again? And it was all done in one city. Michael kept it fresh. Michael had serious roadblocks in his life, in his career, where we question whether or not Michael could really overcome it. LeBron, it's never happened that way. We tried with Golden State. He got through with Golden State. Then Toronto got through with Golden State, and it lessened that even more. We tried the first time around with the Heat when they lost to the Dallas Mavericks. Then they went out and won two and beat one of the greatest dynasties in professional sports, San Antonio, before they were beaten by San Antonio. We've gotten tired of him. We've tried to pass the torch off so many different times to all those different people, and we've become frustrated because he still won't do what we want to do. And I know very well, and Anthony Lyman made one of the best points I've ever heard him make, and that's saying something because he doesn't make a lot of great points. That's a joke, actually. Lyman's very smart. He thinks this is probably the last year that LeBron has a great chance to win a championship. Kevin will be back. The Nets will be back. They'll be healthy. Boston will be back. We'll probably be more than likely out of a bubble, maybe starting a season later. LeBron will be a year older. This is year two of a groin injury for him. He's proven that he is human, is mortal. Father Time will catch up with LeBron James. And this may very well be the end. But nobody cares anymore because we've passed that. We've tried to pass that torch off so many times. It doesn't matter. And Giannis looked embarrassed. I talked to Zach Friedland at Complex yesterday. He brought up a point that I think a lot of people are thinking of. We might need to revamp the awards, encompass the postseason. We don't think of regular season stuff anymore when we think of greatness. Giannis looked like he'd rather be anywhere else on earth. He knew that he was going to get ripped for accepting that award. What else is he supposed to do? And there were 16 votes for LeBron James for first place? This is a league that cares so much about fan interaction and people sending things to them on social media and fans being interactive with them through media and actually when they're going to be able to, going to games and enjoying the players' culture. Giannis knew he was going to get roasted yesterday, no matter what he did. Maybe they do need to redo the awards. But even if you do redo the awards, I think we'll go through the mental gymnastics and give it to somebody else. We all know valuable player. We all know who that guy is. It's become an award about who's the most popular player. And the people who vote are the people who write, and they are sick and tired of writing about LeBron James. Bill Bender coming up in just over 20. Top 5 HBO originals. Pierno, I love you for this. That's coming up next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. Bill Bender joining us from the Sporting News coming up at 11:40 a.m. Eastern. Pierno, you picked a gem. I can't believe you thought I might disappoint you.
I thought you might say, Ken, no. I don't know which of these shows are HBO, and I thought that you would have a problem with it.
No, I'll have a. I'd have a. No, the one was such because just because I don't watch award shows, you didn't know any.
Yeah,
better.
I just you know the know. Again, the VMAs are not what they used to be, but at a time they were like a pop culture institution. The Video Music Awards
that bothered the hell out of Pierno folks that I did not want to do that one day. That still bothers that boy.
Well, because then I also made the I also said at that point that I will never ever again change it. So again, we were having such a great great back and forth both yes. on and off the air. I didn't want to spoil it because I definitely would have lost it if you would have had an issue with
it. Oh no! I wasn't going to do the Hurricane Peter McNeely. There was no dumps in the pants on this one, baby. Are we ready for yours? We'll do yours first in ascending order, and we will do mine. The top five HBO. These are original series.
Yes.
Of all time, correct?
All right. Original series.
All right, away you go.
All right,
good.
I'm starting off with The Leftovers, a recent one. Justin Theroux, Carrie Coon, great performances from them. Not that it really matters, but somehow the show only received, I think, one Emmy nomination during its run. It wasn't a long run, only 3 seasons and 28 episodes, but it was ambitious. For those that don't know, 2% of the world's population, they vanish at once, and then we get to see how the characters that are left behind, how they deal with the loss. So it got crazy and weird, but in a good way, great finale, beautiful final shot. Definitely one of the most underrated TV shows of all time. So I have The Leftovers coming in at number 5.
Wow.
Next, I have The Wire, one of the smartest TV shows of all time. Focuses on different aspects of the city of Baltimore each season, but it all ties together in a larger narrative. You got complex characters, great storytelling. It's a show that rewards you for paying close attention. Everything that is done and said by the characters has meaning and a purpose. There will always be a payoff down the line. So The Wire, one of the greatest TV shows of all time, is in there. Next up at number 3, I have The Larry Sanders Show. Hilarious, smart, has heart to it. The show within the show, of course, the great Gary Shandling, Jeffrey Tambor, Rip Torn. These 3 guys putting together their late night talk show follow their personal and professional troubles that they were going through. You had celebrities playing exaggerated versions of themselves. All the biggest names of the 90s appeared on there, so it's like a great time capsule to go back and watch. And it also put HBO on the map, helped pave the way for the rest of these great series. It was the first cable show to ever be nominated for either a best comedy or drama series. You had Judd Apatow was a writer on the show, so the Larry Sanders Show, great show, number 3.
Yep.
Number 2, 6 Feet Under, groundbreaking show that dealt with a lot of daring topics, confronting death and grief. The cast was amazing. Peter Krause, Michael C. Hall, Lauren Ambrose, Francis Conroy, Richard Jenkins, Rachel Griffiths. One of the greatest finales in history, in TV history, one of the greatest finales. It stayed true to the characters, gave you a sense of resolution, of course, created by the great Alan Ball, who also wrote the screenplay, won an Academy Award for American Beauty.
There's a documentary on him real quick on Amazon that's in my
queue
that I want to watch. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, I got to watch that on Alan Ball. Go ahead.
And then finally, number 1, The Sopranos. I don't have enough time to describe my love for the show. It changed television forever. It elevated television. You know, there was a time where, you know, movie actors, they thought doing television was beneath them, but it just elevated the whole genre. Great storytelling, characters, visuals. Again, the writing, the directing was unbelievable. Tony Soprano, one of the greatest characters in TV history, and The Sopranos made being bad good by having an anti-hero as the focal point. It became acceptable to have a flawed lead character. James Gandolfini, Edie Falco, the great David Chase, who created the show, Sopranos, number 1 for me.
All right, here's the ones that didn't make it. Sex and the City didn't make it. Ballers didn't make it.
Oh, my God, no.
Hard Knocks, I actually count, and it doesn't make it. I've been bored to tears over Hard Knocks. Unless your team is on Hard Knocks, I don't think any fan cares. I really mean that sincerely. I think it's boring. I think it's what camp is. They're like, we'll give you an inside look at camp. Yep, training camp's boring. Players hate it, and so do the viewers. I don't think it's good. I don't like it. Unless it's your team, you don't care. They came to Cleveland, I cared, and after that, didn't care. I really don't care now. Before, it was always an argument. I don't care. Ballers is on that list. Entourage could have been on this list had it stopped after like four seasons.
Yeah, it went on too long.
Oh, my God.
A couple seasons too long.
I go, evolve. Evolve. You guys are still wearing the same clothes from 8 years ago, for crying out loud. Do any of you can? This guy is not a great actor. Go do something else with your lives, for the love of God. Jeremy Piven shines like a star because Jeremy Piven's good. What are the rest of you doing? What are the rest of you doing? Go follow around the other guys. For the love of God, it was just so stupid. It was one thing. Honestly, it was one great big long Hangover movie. And at least Hangover, like you're in and out in 90 minutes and there's some jokes and you can move on. It's like, what, we're doing whole seasons of this?
That's another good top five. It shows that went on too long.
God, yes. But it's like, hey, I know Bradley Cooper is like the bad boy, the Hangover. He actually goes back to a family. He doesn't just keep it going for eight seasons. Entourage would have been good if it lasted 3 to 4 seasons. The rest of it sucked. And I mean sucked out loud. Here's my top five. Number five, The Larry Sanders Show. Good friend of mine, Ryan Lentzel, sent me the box set. Fantastic television. Gary Shandling, great. The whole thing. You already said it. Number four, this is gonna slap me right in the face. I don't care. I like body comedy. I like that type of stuff. I like blue comedy. I like Eastbound and Down. Okay?
Good show.
Katie Mixon is wonderful. She is wonderful. And I know what happens in the first season. I know what you get to see in the first season. That's not the reason. I think she's great. I think that Danny McBride is hilarious. I think the family's great. I really love Eastbound and Down. I just love it. It's just, I like that type of comedy. Ashley Schaefer makes me laugh with Will Ferrell. I just like to laugh, and I like that show. Number three, The Wire. It's exactly what you said for all the reasons. There's complexity. It shows you some grittiness of not – everything needs to be set in New York, according to a lot of people, and it's not in New York. It's in Baltimore. And if you've ever been to Baltimore, there's some things to really love about Baltimore. There's some good people in Baltimore, but there is a gritty side to Baltimore, a very gritty side to Baltimore, and it can be dangerous, and I like how they highlight people living in that environment and trying to make it through that environment. Number two, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Friend of mine, Jeff Thomas, said it's Seinfeld on steroids. It's weird. I think that what I love about Curb Your Enthusiasm is 99% of people have lived in a lot of those situations, and they just did what they could to get through those situations. I like how Larry David confronts them and brings them right to the screen. Also, we need to get to the bottom of this, Pierno. There is a character, when they revamped it, and this two seasons ago, there is a minor character called Ken Carmen. I need to get to the bottom of that, and it's killing me, Pierno. I have no idea how they came to a character with the same name as me, but it's been an itch that I just haven't been able to scratch for like 3 years. And number one overall is Sopranos. And you just said it yourself. He's an anti-hero. I think we all do this. We've all made mistakes. We've all had things that we regret. We've all done things that we regret, and we all try to be good people. I think there are bad people in the world. I think that even a lot of those bad people try to be good people. And Tony Soprano is not a good guy. He's not a good person, and he does bad things, and he hurts people around him, and he hurts strangers, and he still is conflicted about that, and I think a lot of people can see that. I mean, sometimes I think it gets a little too stereotypical here and there, but that would be my only criticism, and that's not a real major criticism. I mean, the show is just phenomenal. The show is absolutely phenomenal, and what you said about Tony Soprano, I couldn't say it any better, and that's what I have to say. So Larry Sanders, Eastbound and Down, The Wire, Curb, and then number one, Sopranos. God, that was fun. God, that was fun, Pierno. Thank you.
I love HBO. Cathartic. And then there's so many more. There's Veep, there's Deadwood, there's so many.
Veep's on there. Veep. I wanted to write down Veep as one of the ones. I caught these. A lot of these shows I catch later. I did not watch The Sopranos in its original run, and I was allowed to watch The Sopranos in its original run. I just didn't. And then there was a time, what, 5-6 years ago, where I was like, all right, I'm going to go through The Sopranos. Compelled.
This is beyond compelled. This is crazy in me, but once a year I watch the show from beginning to end.
I watch
all six seasons once
a
year.
You. Yeah, I would do the same thing. I would do the same thing if I were you. I love it. It's fantastic television. But that is top five HBO originals. Coming up at 12:20 p.m. Eastern, we do Work or Shoot. Up next, Bill Bender, sporting news, national college football writer. The Big Ten is back! Some people aren't very happy about it. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The chill is in the air. We are on our way to fall, and we are on our way to the SEC on CBS, and we are on our way to the Big Ten returning to the ranks of college football. Can they do enough to get themselves in the national championship picture with the college football playoffs? And by enough, and by they, you know I'm talking about Ohio State, at least when it comes to the Big Ten, unless maybe James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions can crash that party. Or does Jim Harbaugh finally have his quarterback after years of excuse-making? Find out more with Bill Bender, who joins us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Hello, Bill.
Hey, hello, Ken. How you doing, man? It is. It's a beautiful blue sky outside. The chill is in the air. We should be watching Big Ten football, but we'll just have to wait another month.
Pumpkin spice season is here, my friend. It is here. Sporting News national college football writer Bill Bender. Follow him on Twitter at BillBender92. And I'm going to talk about this at noon. I'm not going to ask you to say anything if you don't want to. At first I thought there was a straw man I was using when I was talking about people who was, they're doing this for money. And I'm going, yeah, well, they're bringing students on campus for money too. What are we talking about here? And I thought I was talking about a straw man. Sure as hell, here comes Christine Brennan. And I'm going, okay, we're going to do this now. We're really going to have this conversation. Have you had conversations, Bill, with people who have just been so against this from the very get-go about the Big Ten coming back and going even as far as Christine Brennan, who said they sold their soul for money?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is about money. And there was all of those factors are at work. I mean, it is about political pressure. It is about wanting to play. It is about, to me, though, it's more about they have a plan in place that puts the best safeguards in place to make a season possible in an environment where we just don't know. You know, there have been so many games canceled and postponed and moved around. And, I mean, I think, to me, the temperature of the room is more the constituents want to play. The fans want to play. The players want to play. The coaches and athletic directors want to play. And we've watched enough other people play that, you know, give it a try. I read Christine's column, too. I don't consider this the darkest day in Big Ten history by a long shot. But it could change day by day. You just never know.
Bill Bender joining us, Sporting News national college football writer. Follow him on Twitter at BillBender92. So they're going to play coming up in October. A couple of players who are deciding that they were going to opt out, they're back in. It's a big issue for Ohio State. Let me start with Ohio State here really quickly. I would say that they're the class of the Big Ten. What gets them into a college football playoff? Because it's not just good performance. There's a couple of hoops that we need to jump through here, maybe when it comes to Bill Hancock and the committee.
Well, I think Ohio State, I mean, the pressure is to go perfect. A one-loss Big Ten team playing less games could get into some tricky conversations with, say, 10-1 Florida. If Florida goes 10-0 and then loses to Alabama in the SEC championship game, that gets created. The one flaw in the Big Ten plan is that it has to go on without hitches. And then when you set a medical standard where a COVID player or coach tests positive for COVID, you've got to sit 21 days, that's a huge wrinkle into the season. And I think we're all almost assuming that it's going to happen to at least one of the 14 schools.
Yeah, I would assume at some point it probably will. I mean, we're looking at some of the other schools who have it. You know, there's a couple of things that they need to get worked out there. And that's why, Bill, you know, I'm looking at a year where we've curved a couple of things where, all right, we're not going to be as rigid about this or that and this and that because of COVID. You just mentioned it. I think the College Football Playoff Committee really needs to maybe try to set a standard for the changed year and what they will consider, and then even be willing to say that we're willing to change this standard as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to be fluid with their process as well. You know, what is it? Can a 5-0 Ohio State team get in the playoff? I don't know. I don't think – I've been asked the expansion question a lot. Is this the year that they – maybe try 8, and just in my discussions with Bill Hancock, I think 4 is what's going to happen. just from a logistical standpoint anyway. And, you know, I just, how many games does it take for people to realize that Ohio State's good? Now, the good news on the schedule is they play Penn State early. I think the Michigan game is in its rightful spot, whether it happens or not. It's better than October 24th or wherever else they were going to put it. They put it in the right spot. And Ohio State and Wisconsin have the best look at it in terms of, if we're just talking about the schedule. Those two teams have the kind of schedule in terms of trying to get to Indianapolis for the first place game, not the sixth or seventh place game.
Can you do me a favor and take me around what the hell happened with the Big 12 last week? What on earth is going on? Because you know I love my football in the plains. And I'm going Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State. Now, that was an 11-win Louisiana team, but good God, they got dismantled in the second half, Bill.
It did. You know, Louisiana's a good team, but, you know, part of it is, I don't want to make an excuse, but sometimes you wonder, okay, if Ames is a full house, does it make it a little bit harder on a Sun Belt team to come in there and win? If K-State has a full house, that's been a home field advantage in the past. Does Arkansas State struggle a little bit? And then I thought about it more, and then I'm thinking, they still got to win those games. And the middle of the Big 12 doesn't look too good. And Urban Meyer was talking about that earlier on the Big Noon kickoff, and he's right. I mean, it's going to show up later in those later discussions, and I think it increases the pressure for Texas and Oklahoma to win all their games.
Gosh, I didn't even think about that. You go, yeah, you're playing in an empty stadium. It's a little bit easier. Now, again, I there's times where Jack Trace hasn't exactly had a full boat of 60-plus thousand people. I can understand that. But, yeah, it does have an effect on college-age students. The carefulness of what happens, do you think that because, hey, the SEC is going to have some fans, at least from what I saw, like the Swamp's going to have 17,000 at least. A couple other places are going to be able to have fans. Will that make a difference because there might be schools coming in where they may not have fans and then they go into a place that does have fans and it throws off their rods and cones there a little bit, Bill?
It does. Yeah, I mean, the SEC's bringing fans in, and they're going to have business as usual. I think in the Big Ten it'll have an impact in terms of, you know, you think, I've caught myself doing this in my writing at least, where you're like, oh, that's a tough road game. Well, is it? Is it a whiteout if it's just cardboard cutouts of guys in white suits? I don't know. Michigan becomes a less intimidating environment without 100K. Same with Ohio State. So, in essence, I think it's an essence. You know, I was talking to Bernie Kosar about this week about the Browns-Bengals game. Ahead of that,
that's
he
a
said,
name drop. Look at you name dropping over there. Hell.
Hey, I know you read that story. It was a good story ahead of the game. But what Bernie said that made the most sense, Ken, was that if you're a quarterback, you love this empty stadium stuff because you can hear the defense check the ear check, and then you can figure it out from there. And I do think there's some validity to that in watching both levels over the last couple weekends. Bernie knows what he's talking about. You know that.
Well, the guy's a savant when it comes to football. And usually when I say I talk to Bernie, I just listen to Bernie when Bernie's talking about football, because I'm trying to retain everything that he's saying, because what he says is really great stuff, and I mean that sincerely. Bill Bender joining us here on the show. So what ends up happening for maybe some of this Heisman Trophy stuff? Justin Fields will assert himself back into it. Trevor Lawrence will be there. A couple other names will be there. How do the voters go about picking and choosing based on how many games a team can play? And also the adversity level. There's going to be – people love – the voters love adversity. Nothing could be more adverse than a pandemic, friend. I don't know how they get this figured out.
You know, there's a couple elements to it this year, and I, you know, I get to vote on that. And the first time I voted was on Tua, and my friends still remind me that I got there in their words, Ken, not mine. You got it wrong, Bill. So,
wow.
Come on, man. So it makes it hard for me to. You know, there's a couple layers to it this year. One is that the Trevor Lawrence Lifetime Achievement Award. Is it the Justin Fields winning on a seven-game schedule? Because you know one of the things with this award is it is based on stats more than it should be. So if Spencer Rattler has like a perfect quarterback rating with Lincoln Riley, I mean, do we just give him the award? And it is a quarterback's award as well. So, I mean, those three names, Sam Ellinger, and I'm sure an unknown quarterback. There's a couple to watch tonight that could like get in that early conversation. Derek King and Mikael Cunningham with Louisville. This is the first good game on the schedule that I've actually been excited to watch.
Bill, Mountain West, I got to get this question in before we let you go. The Mountain West has said that they are considering playing football now in the fall, especially with the Pac-12 doing it and trying to do it in the Big Ten, making that return. You know a lot of guys in the MAC. I know a lot of guys in the MAC. I've kept contact with them. It's driving them nuts. It is driving them nuts. Is there any chance there is Mid-American Conference football this fall, or are they just really going to try the spring thing?
Well, I mean, this is going to put John Steinbrecher in a tough spot, and I spoke with him, I think, a month ago about this, and they were kind of pointing towards spring and all those kind of things, and now the pressure to play now, it's not an enviable spot to be in for him, you know, because I think John does a fantastic job with the Mid-American Conference and continues to do that. So, you know, if they return to play, I'm sure it'll be an abbreviated schedule as well. I wouldn't expect eight games. Maybe they can just play the divisions and go from there. But for those smaller conferences, you got to realize it's a lot harder for them to get those wheels turning in those conferences than it is for the Big Ten, given all that TV money that they get.
Yep. I would feel, and I know we got to run, Bill, but I just real quick, I would feel that maybe the TV money would be better for them, and maybe they'd have more exposure and better luck with the spring for this year, just with everything else that's going on, because it's not like you can make those road games and go get your million-dollar paycheck from any one of the big schools. Just something to think about right there. Am I wrong on that real quick?
No, not at all. And I think, you know, with the D3 in Ohio and how much we both know about that, playing on Friday nights, to have some spring MAC games in the Saturday wouldn't be the worst alternative. So I'd sign up for that as well.
Bill, we thank you very much for the time, buddy. Wonderful as always. Take care.
Hey, have a good day. Thanks so much.
Bill Bender, Sporting News National College Football Writer, at BillBender92. It dawns on you, because everybody wants to play in the fall. The coaches want to play in the fall, and you're asking a lot of the athletes. But will people watch mid-major college football in the spring? You bet your ass they will. You better believe they will. The ratings will be better. You're not competing. When you go in division, are you going to be competing with the big boys? No. In Tuesday Maction, that's for the degenerate of the degenerates. Now you might have just a captive audience that says, let's see what spring college football is like, and we like college football. Not every year, certainly not every year, but it might be a way you can do it. Coming up next, you come for the straw man, you stay for the virtue signaling. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.